If you're feeling a little soggy, we have got your cure. It's another episode of Real Housewives of New Jersey, Season 8. We're back.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, what's up, After Buzzers? It's another edition.
Hey,
After Buzz TV with Real Housewives of New Jersey,
absolutely.
Season 8. And we are on episode 3.
Yes.
It's your boy, DJ Richie Sky, in the house. You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at DJ Richie Sky. And who's in the house today?
And it's Rusty Bravo, a.k.a. Russell Ray. You can follow me at Russell Ray Silva across all handles. And the Bravo boys are in the house.
Yes, we are. And we're about to go in on this episode. Shout out to Tamar singing Hold Up right now. And shout out to Leanne Locken from Real Housewives of Dallas for taking us out last night.
Yes.
And as a result, I felt wasted. So, but we got all the dirt for you on tonight's episode right here. My boy Russell got all the flashback details.
Yes.
He got all the tea. So let's go ahead and get started. Now, as you guys will remember, we left off with everybody leaving Siggy's house because they could no longer tolerate her, and I couldn't either. So I'm glad the episode ended. Mad that I didn't get any salty crab balls, but you know, that's how life goes sometimes. Now, we reconvene at Margaret's house, and we are alerted to the fact that she is getting prepared for her summer cosmetics bag party. She's launching a new summer cosmetics bag, because apparently that's a thing, and you can make money from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just given you guys a clue. Go get rich. Now, we also learned that, we know that Margaret is married to a contractor.
Yes.
She left her husband for a contractor.
Yes.
But apparently he don't do much work, because the house is not ready for the party. It's been 6 months and the renovations still aren't done. Listen, the house looks palatial, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have no curtains, but the house looks humongous.
Mm-hmm.
But the renovations they're not done. And the place looks a mess. And Margaret is upset because she's got a party to throw,
mm-hmm.
For this summer bag collection. And they're going to be walking into what looks like a haunted house. Like, literally.
I don't know how to feel about this. Okay, so my take with it is, so you have Margaret, who is
mm-hmm.
the stylist. Mm-hmm. So she has... She has everything she needs, and she can make anything. She should be able to make anything work. And then you have the contractor.
Right.
So he's kind of halfway there.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like she could have made it work by putting up some extra linens. If I was her, I would have been nailing things into the wall. I don't care. At the end of the day, you're there to make it work, and it would have been real simple to throw up some curtain rods, put in some nice
that
linens.
Gold tinsel would have been on every single wall.
Yes.
We'll see that later, though. But for now... we also know that she calls him Super Joe. I'm not sure why, because it doesn't seem like he's doing anything
more
quite
like
so super.
Super slow.
Maybe he's super in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where
it is. Wait a minute. what I like most about him is that there's no other contractors allowed to be in the house.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Did y'all peep that too, right?
Yes.
Because he is afraid
yep.
that she's going to fall for another contractor like she fell for him. Well, she might fall for one that actually works.
Yep. But you can't be mad at the game, because he came into the situation knowing what it was, and then he took her off to his own world. So you can't be mad if someone else comes into your house
with the same mentality. You would think that if that was his biggest fear, he would get to fixing.
And work twice as hard.
Okay.
Come on, Super Joe, more like Super Slow. Shout out to Super Slow.
Boom. That part. Anyway, we then head on over to Siggy's house, where she's with Michael. Siggy's living, and she's going to go meet with Teresa. I really don't have much to say about this, because I feel like she annoys me sometimes. So I have a love-hate relationship with her. That's what I'm discovering.
With Dolores?
With Siggy.
With Siggy?
I don't hate her. She just annoys me sometimes.
She's very dramatic. I feel like if she got slapped, once or twice, not
yeah.
too many times, not three times, because three times is not throwing over the edge. But if you slap her, it's like, if Teresa slaps her once or twice, the old Teresa that flipped tables slaps her once or twice, she might act right after that.
Well, we'll see, because she's going to go meet up with Teresa. But first, we see Dolores. She's back at home with Frank. And, she's basically asking him to sort of, maybe apologize for, saying that Frankie is an embarrassment. You know, I mean, but if that's how he's feeling, that's how he's feeling.
You know what? Frankie is an embarrassment. I'm sorry.
See?
You got all that muscle. You had that, what was it, that plug for your modeling contract, for your modeling career, right? And you pretty much have life handed to you on a platter because you have two successful parents. And you can't do the decency of filling out your college applications. The fact that you have a tutor and you cannot fill out your college applications, that's an issue with me.
Well, let me say something. In my hangover haze when I was watching the episode, I was thinking to myself, it was interesting that Dolores said, well, the advisor helped him get his applications in. You know, I don't know about anybody else when they attended college, but this is just me. When I was having to send my applications off to my colleges, mm-hmm. I did it myself.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have an advisor that basically did the application for me or even took part in the process.
Yep.
Did you? Like, nope. Is that a new thing? Is that what they're doing? Somebody tell me.
Please let us know. I struggled my way through those applications.
Okay. Jesus. Essays, letters of recommendations. You got to sign your life away.
I didn't get no recommendations. I had to get my own recommendation. Oh. Like, myself is so good. You should let me into this college.
He wouldn't have been able to do that. Now,
he's sensitive. He's sensitive like Siggy. No wonder Dolores likes her. He's sensitive just like her. Come on, man.
Well, we get to Teresa's house. Teresa, who is not so sensitive.
No,
thank the Lord.
Whatsoever.
And we discover that they're moving, you know, her dad's furniture into the house. I was curious as to why, you know, you guys are rich. I mean, shouldn't you have hired some movers or something? I don't know. Like, that's
she asked.
Me.
She said, where are you guys' movers at? And Joe looked at her like, get out here and do this.
Like, what? Nope, I'm not touching that.
I mean, he did have to save money, which we found out later why, which we'll get to. But he does have to save money. He can't afford no movers right now.
Okay.
But we'll get into that later.
Well, they end up telling Joe Gorga that, you know, Siggy turned a little psycho on the vacay. And, you know, it was interesting. I found out that... In this piece of the scene, we find out that Dolores has actually only been friends with Siggy for a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, Joe was really surprised that Dolores didn't have their back because, you know, they've known Dolores apparently since they were really young.
Since they were teenagers.
So, you know, it's interesting to me that Dolores talks so much about loyalty, but she's not loyal to the people that she should be loyal to, correct? Or am I wrong?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I think the only thing Siggy are... Sorry, they're the same person. I'm confusing them.
They are.
The only thing Dolores really has going for her is that she's pretty right now.
She
in
is.
My book. She's
oh my
pretty.
God.
She has gorgeous teeth.
And I like the way she talks.
But Dolores, I'm going to have a tween session with you. You got to get on the right team.
Okay.
Or just back up and don't play on the field.
Okay.
Let it happen.
My thing is, it's okay to have somebody's back if you feel like she, you know, somebody needed somebody on their side.
Mm-hmm.
But to go so hard for somebody that you've only known for a year, it's like, girl, you better learn who she is first. Because clearly she has a couple of different personalities that are existing in her.
Yep.
And we see that this episode.
Absolutely.
Now, next we see, which I'm going to go back and rewatch this episode. I have to be honest with you because I make notes while we're watching the episode. He makes notes
same,
as well.
Same.
But I felt like I wasn't really able to I'm watching it, taking notes and making my points. So I really want to go back and watch the scene because as a business owner myself, I was really fascinated with this visit that Margaret took to Envy.
Yes.
It was interesting because we learned that she gets all of her designs copywritten.
Mm-hmm.
I, for one, am just interested in stuff like that in general. And mm-hmm. she seemed so knowledgeable. She had licensing deals for all of her stuff. And it made me actually really want to go look up more about Margaret's business.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to know more. And it was interesting that didn't seem to be any level of competition there. It was Melissa like, you know more than me. I mm-hmm. want to learn from you. And Margaret complimenting Melissa for the progress that she's made. I liked that.
I think this is going to work out in Melissa's favor, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
So her business partner did her dirty.
Right.
And now she's sole owner of Envy.
Mm-hmm.
So then she can bring in Margaret's products to Envy.
That would be nice.
And then Margaret can help her have her own product.
Yeah.
So that store is strictly, I can almost guarantee this, it's strictly going to be Margaret and Melissa's products within that store, but Melissa's the sole owner and Margaret is the contributor.
Yep.
to that.
I would totally be 110% here for that collaboration. Mm-hmm. I think they would do amazing things together. Danielle shows up, and I actually love every moment that Danielle is on the screen. Every single moment, because she just kind of slides in and
stirs
you
the
pot. Exactly. Slides in, stirs it up, looks fabulous while doing it, and then skates on out. I love it. But we also learn at this point that Siggy has blocked Margaret.
Okay, who does that? I do that sometimes. But who does that for over something so simple? Like, come on.
For me to block you, I feel like we have had to have some type of relationship, and you had to have done something really, really dirty to me.
Yes.
Okay.
Bring it.
Right. Don't y'all agree? That's how I feel. I don't just, like, I'm not blocking you just because I'm mad at you. You know what I'm saying? I got to be, like, going at you. We got to have, like, a real huge falling out type beef. And it just seemed kind of dramatic.
It was. It was way over the top, and, like... Well, obviously, we're learning that Siggy's a very emotional
petty
person. Hashtag petty wop, hashtag okay. petty Betty, hashtag okay. petty LaBelle.
Okay.
But I just, come on. It was so simple. And if you're going to block, then block across the board. Right? So do Melissa and do Teresa as well.
You know she's not going to do that.
Why not?
Because my assumption is Siggy's not going to do anything to really get on Teresa's bad side, which is why Teresa was the first person that she called in order to sort of make amends with. But we'll get to that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Danielle interestingly explains to Margaret why Siggy might have been angry. And I felt like that was she was the rational person in this scene. She was. And so, you know, Margaret decides that she's going to call Siggy and invite her to the get-together in the unfinished home. So she does so, and Siggy, in a very mature fashion, tells her that she respectfully declines and that there had been too much that had happened between the two of them in Boca Raton, so she cannot go.
I thought that was very classy of her to be civil about it.
Right.
And to actually say it up front.
Right.
Instead of like, oh, no, you know what? I have something else I have to do. She was like, no, I respectfully decline. I just don't want to be there. Which I'm here for that, I will say. Because there's so many times where I made up 1,001 excuses. Like, oh, my God, you would not believe there was a couch in the middle of the road and I cannot make it to your party. There was a detour and then people were falling over it and out of their cars. I'm the worst. But
well, it's
she was
funny,
real
though,
with it.
Because if you live in Hollywood, you know there is a chance that there might be a couch in the road.
A homeless man threw his couch at me, you know? Like, but, I mean, she was real with it. She was straight up. And
she was real. She went off, and then she hung up.
Yep. She said, bye, Felicia.
Okay. So, next we go, and we see Dolores at the family dinner, and I don't know where they are, but it made me hungry for whatever reason. And
I feel good.
Okay. And Frank asks, you know, he asked Frankie, how do you feel about me moving home? And interestingly, Frankie calls him obsessive compulsive, which I thought was funny. And so then they oddly get on this conversation about him and his girlfriend and what they're going to do. And, you know, he's like trying to be positive about it. Like, we're going to try to make it work. And, you know, they basically tell him, no, don't
let
do
it go. They said, let it go.
Let it go, Elsa. So, you know, and he very nicely checks his own father when he says, you're more of a multiple girl type of guy. I'm more of a one girl type of guy. Burn.
That
I lived
Dolores
for that.
Had to put her head down.
Okay. That was hilarious. Hilarious. And there was nothing he could say.
Yep.
So next, we learned that Melissa and Joe are still dealing with the loss of, you know, his mom. Mm-hmm. And she kind of coaches him on, you know, you've got to keep busy. Which he takes her advice.
Okay, can I say something about Joe and Melissa real quick? They, and like I said, I've noticed some things in the episode that are irrelevant to the situation, that happened. So Joe and Melissa are good kissers. She grabbed his face and it was like full on, like you could tell they're going into MacDown mode. Versus sometimes when I've seen Teresa and Joe do DJ kiss, it's very like, you know, it's very, like, pecky. But Melissa and Joe was, like, they didn't even care that the cameras were there. They were going to put on some, like, R&B music. It was Mr. Nasty time in that house.
It was about to get nasty. What can I say about that? I feel like Teresa's Joe seems more like a caveman. Joe Gorga seems more like a lover.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's very passion-driven.
As indicated by his flirtation with the makeup artist later.
But we'll makeup get artist to is a thirst too. Trap. We got to find out who that is. But
we'll get to that, too.
Yes.
But first, Teresa and Soggy decide to meet up for some wine and pretzels, which I saw on the table, too. And Teresa very calmly explains to Siggy exactly what she did. And Siggy, you know, is... She's beside herself with, you know, just upset, and she can't believe that she was drunk. This is where it all came from. She was drunk and she was hurt. So, you know, they quickly make amends.
Yeah.
I mean, which was, that was to be expected in my book.
But she called her behind the scenes on the camera, Siggy, Soggy, Psycho Siggy, or just...
She didn't know who showed up. Because the moment she apologized and she asked about, and Teresa asked about Margaret, you know... Soggy went into, like, full-on psycho bitch mode.
Into rage. Oh, but you know what's funny is Teresa has not changed in season one. She, okay, so Siggy came at her and was like, you did this and this and, you know, the cake thing. But Teresa was like, yeah, but you called it, like, didn't even, like, acknowledge the fact that she was wrong. But she's like, yeah, but you called this, like, out of character and you were calling us names. And she waited for Siggy to apologize first before she even came to an apology.
I didn't even realize that, but that was sloppy.
Teresa has been like that since season one. Teresa, you good, girl. I need to learn from
That's
you.
That's why she's the OG of NJ.
Oh, my God. Just avoided, deflected everything she said and, like, put the blame right back on her.
And I think it was here that we really start to learn the extent to which Soggy hates Margaret by calling her an effing bitch.
And she wants to yank her pigtails out.
Yeah.
I'm starting to like the pigtails. I ain't mad at it.
I mean, I just thought that was kind of extreme. What y'all think? Y'all think that was extreme?
So Karen, wait a minute. Karen Rodriguez, I believe, she wanted to know if we think that Margaret is a good addition to the cast this season.
I do, actually. Margaret, to me, kind of gives me, like, there's something about her. She seems real Jersey to me.
I like her.
She seems real Jersey to me, kind of like an alternate version of Caroline Manzo.
Really?
I say it like this because okay. I feel like she's grounded, but she's not grounded at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I felt like Caroline was kind of the grounding presence on that show.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it was so grounding, it was like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like a rock. But I feel like Margaret is kind of grounded and she's very lighthearted with it.
I feel like Margaret is that type of woman that's like, I'm here, this is who I am, and you're either going to take it or you're going to leave it. And if you want to leave it, I'm going to make you like me anyways. Because she has the ones and twos and the puns.
She does. And she doesn't get really riled. Like, she doesn't get rattled or riled up too easily, which I kind of like, too. But she's not afraid to say what's on her mind.
She's not. She's very upfront, and she is her own person, and she just, it is what it is.
Well, speaking of Margaret, we do check back in with her, and we discovered that nothing's done in the house. Okay. Now, Melissa and Joe decide to go out to lunch. They're going to go get some Italian food. No brainer there. And, you know, we walk into an empty restaurant and we discover, oh no, Joe has purchased the restaurant. Melissa knew nothing about it.
Yeah. Yep.
How would you feel about this?
Okay, so I took Melissa's perspective on this just because when she had talked about doing her own
career. He gave her hell the entire season.
And he made her feel like...
Less than.
Exactly, or that she needed to be the contributor to the household because he was out in the field making the money. And now that he wanted to pursue something on the side of what he does, she's expected to be supportive because of his dad.
You know, and she did hit it on the nail, and she said she thought it was an excuse. My thing about it was, I think she did a very, very good job of articulating herself, yet still trying to be supportive. I think for me, I would have been more like, okay, if this fails, it's all on you because I'm not paying a penny for this because you didn't tell me about it. Because at the end of the day, it's like if you're going to buy something, you know, I'm not married, but it sounds like when people who are married make decisions like that, they have to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And at no point you told your dad before you even told, you know, your wife. So mm-hmm. at the end of the day, I just kind of feel like, you know, like, where's the reciprocity here?
Well, I think another thing is, too, we're not entirely inside of the relationship. So I'm the kind of person that my finances are mine and your finances are yours. And okay, and if you decide to collaborate on something like a home and children, fine. But if you still have your own business aspirations with your own money and you decide you want to grow it that way, then that's fine. But if you take a loss, I don't want you coming to me talking about, can you bail me out? So
the problem with that is that if they take a loss, they can do that.
No, he doesn't need to.
I'm just saying.
Oh, no, I understand what you're saying.
Legally speaking,
yes.
If something should ever happen, then she takes a loss on that too.
Well, if that restaurant tanks, then I think she deserves an expansion at Envy.
Boom.
So that would have been but she handled it very well.
She handled it. You know, Melissa, I think for every season that she's been on this show, she's always probably been the most classy person on the show. In the sense that, how she handles conflict.
Yes.
She's never really gotten out of character. She has biting responses, but they're not hurtful. They're mm-hmm. They're not low digs. They're not Jacqueline level low. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? But I feel like, you know, but it's good to see her speak up, have her voice heard, even though it really wasn't her. But, you know, she gave her opinion.
I think she comes from passion with sincerity.
Exactly. And like,
you call this Jersey trash. You know what I mean? It's very passionate, but very sincere at the same time.
Yeah, she never went low in that situation with Siggy either. So then, you know, we see Teresa going to her publisher's office. I'm not really clear on who the man was in the clown suit.
it is Halloween.
And maybe one of you guys will tweet us and tell us it was Dolce & Gabbana. But I will say just this. Just because it's designer does not mean that it looks good. Okay?
There's true. That. True. I hope he's not a designer.
You know, we learned that the book is going to be called Standing Strong, which is out right now. We also learned that her last book went to number 2 on the bestsellers list. And I meant to, while I was watching the episode, check to see where Standing Strong is now in terms of bestsellers list, but I didn't. So if you guys know, definitely hit us up, because I think that would be something good to contribute to the show. Now.
But.
Yeah.
Teresa goes into the confessionals. I like to call them confessionals.
Okay.
It's like taking it to church.
Tell us.
So she goes into confessionals and she's like, I really need to make this book work because I'm the sole provider now. But in season 1 and 2, she was spending $100,000 on furniture and cash. She made a joke at one point that says, I heard the economy's tanking, so I pay in cash. So people, listen to me. You need to be careful about the things that you say, because we are several seasons down the line. And it came right back to bite her in the butt. And now the struggle is real. She had talked about putting her house up at one point.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Miss Teresa, I'm sorry that you're going through what you're going through, but you got to be careful about the things. And invest, people. Invest wisely.
Or save.
Make your money, make babies.
You know, I mean, there are certain types of, you know, accounts that, you know, you can have individually that your spouse cannot touch. And if you want to know more information about that, see me later. Anyway. I always think it's interesting, and I want to know this, but I don't know if you guys know, because hopefully you guys are super fans too, but does she write the book herself, or does she co-author it with
someone?
The
other two girls are the writers. She just tells them about her life, and then they fill in the blanks.
Gosh, I wish I had somebody to do that for me. Okay, all right, and we check back in with Margaret, and the house is not done. And the stove's not working now. The stoves.
Multiple, stoves. Yes. Stoves.
They are not working. Okay, so Margaret, you live in a palace. You don't have any curtains.
You ain't got no walls.
No, I don't.
You can fall through the staircase. Come on. Margaret's a hot mess, but I love it. The hottest mess in all the land.
There's electrical wires hanging out of the walls.
It's electrifying, Margaret. I'm defending you.
She
don't
cannot
worry about
find
it.
Her Spanx. It is not going to be a good night, people. It's not going to be a good night. Now, we get our weekly glamour shots.
Yes.
Every week, I really think that we're going to get these glamour shots. I kind of want them to do more. One of the ladies should come out with a makeup line, and they could just put the ad right in there in the show. What do you think? Makeup by Bravo.
True.
So we learned that Melissa... Okay, this was so fascinating to me. It was fascinating not in a... Because I don't think anything of it. But it was just interesting to me that Joe... I love Joe because Joe is comfortable with his sexuality.
Yeah.
He is so comfortable that when the makeup artist asks him to show a little more, he asks, what do you want to see? I loved it. I was loving it. There is nothing like a man that is just so confident in who he is as a person that nothing like that phases him. I applaud you, Joe. That was awesome. Completely, completely awesome. But, you know, we did learn that he wasn't going to go to the party, but it seemed like that all got turned around, and now he's
there, and now... Wait. The makeup artist. I can't with him. Why? You were such a thirst trap. I'm sorry. But, like, you were, like, so adamant about that. And he knows Joe would have just whipped it out like he did when he was in the camper with Joe DDJ, his sister, and Melissa. And Melissa had to run and block it. Tarzan, stay in the jungle, please. Mm-hmm. I was just like, and his eyebrow was just, like, so high in the sky. Okay. Like, oh, is it really going to go down right now?
What,
like,
are we about to see?
It's like, I don't share my man. That's right, Melissa, you protect yours.
Okay. We check back in with Margaret. The stoves are still not working. And, you know, at this point, she's just decided that she's going to have the food cooked at a friend's house. I don't know why she didn't think of this before. And why didn't they bring the food already heated up? Like, is that, how does this work? Is that how it normally works? Because, you know, I don't throw dinner parties.
If you're
like
catering,
that.
Usually you do it at the restaurant right before you get to location. You That's prep it thought. In the morning. You make it, but maybe she promised them. It was like, I have these ovens, and it's going to be great, and you can use them. And then,
girl,
Slow Joe fell through the cracks.
Gosh, he's worthless at this point. Okay.
I don't know about you, Joe. We might need to find another contractor.
Okay. And we know how she like our contractor. Mm-hmm. So we get to... Now, while Margaret is across town dealing with her issues with the party, Siggy is planning a party of her own. And it is the Mocking Margaret party because she's invited her only other friend, Dolores, to come over so that they can make fun of Margaret and do some type of Pee Wee Herman dance. And we also, interesting, learn a little bit of backstory about why Dolores is so far into Siggy's mouth. It apparently stemmed from the end of a relationship and, you know, Siggy realized that something was going on when no one else did over a year ago. And now she's just got her back forever. They're BFF forever.
Or you could just say, hey, I'm going through a hard time and reach out to your best friends. Instead of you, I'm sorry, I'm not one for like the whole victim thing. Like, right. Oh my god, like they don't know what's going on in my life. Don't ever talk to me. Okay. Like, no. If you got an issue, I could call up my best friend and I'd be like, Roxana, I got a problem. And she'd be like, who we got to get in the car and go to
okay.
You know what I mean? Who are we in an argument with right now? Like, that's how those situations are handled.
Right.
But Dolores,
and that comes from years of friendship.
Yes.
Years of issues.
And dysfunction. Because we know I love it.
The king of dysfunction over here. Well, speaking of dysfunction, there's still chaos at Margaret's house, but surprisingly, no one cares because the party is packed and it's jumping.
It's popping.
Thank God. The party does look popping, and I was really wishing I was there, but then I was thinking, I already feel hungover, so I'm like, no, maybe I don't need to be there. But it looked like it was an amazing party. So, interestingly, her ex-husband was there, which was...
She's like, it's your favorite ex-wife. Like,
and he was like,
but it is. You take her as she comes.
I mean,
that's
literally
what it is on the line.
I feel like she probably just told him about the affair like that. Look, honey, I just found somebody new. I like the contractor who was working on the house. I'm going to have to leave you now.
Look, and he just gave me that good, and that's all it's that's all it comes down to.
He was better than you.
I mean, her ex-husband kind of did look a little washed up. He was a little, that age gap is a little higher than her man now. So she upgraded to a younger one.
I wish he would just fix the house. Teresa and Melissa arrive. And, you know, they're kind of fascinated by the house. I mean, the house does look kind of festive. It just looks downright large. Like, it looks huge.
Yeah,
so, I'm excited about that. They ask about whether or not Dolores is coming, and you know, she explains that Dolores is not happy with the way that she treated Siggy because Dolores has Siggy's back 5,000% and cannot go anywhere without her. So,
catch the eyebrow, y'all.
Okay, all the way, all the way. So, Teresa, interestingly, is like, you know, Dolores has become Siggy's minion. I'm so excited that Teresa is actually seeing this and calling it like it is.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of crazy to me.
She's very composed.
Very.
After she went away. Because I know she don't like to say the J word or the P word. Mm. So she went away. Mm. But after she went away, she's very composed and well thought out. And by the way, shout out to the girls on the cast with their vocabulary. This episode, I had to look up, you know, all kinds of words.
Perfunctory.
Perfunctory. Carried out with a minimum of effort or reflection.
They giving us vocab, y'all. Okay. Dolores is basically not coming because she has Siggy's party and, you know, she can't do two events one night. And so anyway, Margaret says, you know what, guys, let's go to another room and talk because I really need to hear some gossip and I can't do it in this crowded party. Mm-hmm. So they leave and Teresa, interestingly, spills the beans that Siggy don't like Margaret and she ain't happy with her.
That's a bit of a pot stir.
It was. And well played, Teresa. Well played. And Danielle was there, too. And she suggests stirring the pot.
Yep.
Calling Siggy.
Yep.
Well, oh, no. She suggested texting her. That was it. Because they already called her one time and she got hung up on. And so, you know, basically Margaret says, you know, let's go out to lunch. Let me, let's do something. Let's just get past all this. I wish you were here, but let's get together and talk, you know?
Yes.
It's kind of weird that you're not here and the girls that I met through you are here. So, you know, and, you know, basically Siggy, when she receives the message, she's kind of like, okay, well, you know, yeah, okay, I'll meet with her. Cause she's, you know, she's willing to try to like talk this thing through. And Dolores is just very much like, no, don't go meet with her. This is perfunctory. Like a Grinch.
You have to do it with the jersey. That was perfunctory.
like why is she so mad?
Because she was going to lose her friend.
Oh my God.
To the ladies.
Girl.
First of all, you would not catch me at a halfway thrown slumber party.
Nope.
Instead of this popping party. I would have been me and all of my hatefulness if I was Dolores
mad.
And Siggy there mad at the world, but I still would have been enjoying myself with
eating
a free cocktail,
drink, okay,
food, networking. I would have got me a free makeup bag.
Okay.
You can't keep me away. I'm sorry, I'm gonna come whether you like it or not. You invited me, I'm there.
Would you like to come? I ain't gonna even speak to you when I walk in your house. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Would you like to come? Absolutely. Count me right on and I want a place right next to you at the table. Don't put it out there if you don't want it.
I live. So Margaret is now hopeful, and everybody's thinking at the party, like, okay, this is a good step forward. Siggy's responded that they can meet. And we're thinking to ourselves, this is going to go smoothly. Not. Because they get to the diner, and all hell breaks loose. This, to me, was a classic Housewives fight. It felt very old school, like almost New York style, like Housewives fight. It felt like Countess Luann and what's that child's name when she told her she had those Herman Munster boots on? Alex McCord.
That's right.
That's what this felt like. It felt just like that. And I was excited about it. It started off nice. Seemed like they were exchanging pleasantries and, you know, ordering the omelets and things. And, you know, then Siggy basically kind of just goes right in.
What was your indicator that you knew that something was going to go down? What was, because I'm curious to know, because I have something that was my indicator, but what was yours?
You know, I didn't have one. I didn't know who was going to go there first, but I should have known. I should have known.
I knew it was coming when Siggy said, I'll take the cheese fries. I was like, oh, she's going to end. That's a comfort food. That's all of your food groups into one. Like, she got her protein and her fats and her sodium. She got it all. It was going down.
I want some right now. So what did you think about this whole showdown at the diner?
It was, you know what? They put it out on the table. And the classic thing that I was always raised with, if you don't want to hurt, then don't say it.
Okay.
So if you're going to say it to one person, expect the other to find out.
Right.
So Siggy had to know that whatever she said was going to come right back to Margaret, and Margaret, and Margaret's just careless. She didn't really care. She's like, okay, it's here, and. She straight up called herself, she said, that was a Joan Rivers line. I'm a Joan Rivers. I said, yes, that was the moment that I wrote on this piece of paper right here, I'm here for Margaret, because I was all about it. She was ready.
I love that they were arguing over who knew Joan's River better. That's what I was. I was loving that.
I bet,
and then
three times.
Shady old Bravo gonna pull up a picture. We see who knows her better.
Yes,
I live for this whole moment. I really, really did, because what I did like about it, and I did not expect this, was that they went from A to Z with this argument. Mm-hmm. Like they went all, like they started pleasant, got angry, expletives, all of that, you know, and. You know, ironically, it ended pretty peacefully because Soggy made an appearance.
I know. She was crying. She's like, I'm a very emotional person.
What did you think at that moment?
I took it like this. So Siggy's a victim, and I took it as, and I'm taking this for what it is so people don't get mad. All right.
Okay.
So I'm taking it for what it is as of episode 3 with Margaret. So it kind of showed me that Margaret is a real person, and she's a good person, because she's like, yeah. You know, I may push and jab. She's like, but I never want to intentionally, like, one-on-one hurt you.
Right.
And she had remorse for the fact that, you know, she was crying, like, okay, don't cry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she genuinely tried to take a back step to bring it down to be civilized again. And Siggy was just in her feelings.
Interestingly, when that happened, I thought I was going to feel one way about Siggy, but I actually ended up feeling another. I thought I was going to be like, here she goes with the waterworks again. But then I kind of realized, I think she really is just a very passionate person.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is because I understand it. Like, if I get to the point where I've gone so far with what I'm saying to somebody that I'm really, like, just that angry, I feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that emotional about it. And I wouldn't have cried right there, but I probably would have left. Excuse me, I gotta go to the bathroom.
I cried to the car like on Friday.
I would have pulled the Shannon Bedore and ran to the bathroom, and I would have let tears out there. But I kind of got her a little bit better at this point in the episode, and I was like, okay, she really does like wear her heart on her sleeve.
She does, and she kind of rekindled towards the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, you know, they were joking about it.
I was so glad to see what I do am enjoying about this season, I think, and we're only 3 episodes in, but what I do like is that situations are moving.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it feels like they're moving pretty quickly, I think. And I was so glad to see that they were able to kind of work it out at the end.
Because
you don't always see that.
Well, I was going to say, what I did like about this episode is that so far with every situation that we've come across in this episode, it was there, it was squashed, it was there, it was finished, it was there, it's done. The only person that we haven't come to yet, and we don't know really how this is going to go down, is with Dolores.
Right.
But everyone else, for the most part, it was handled.
Well,
Jersey style.
Right. And we have, this is a clear indication of what's to come next week, and I'm sure you guys have seen the previews by now, but the lingering issues still seem to be between Siggy and Melissa,
mm-hmm.
which I think is going to come to a head next week.
And Dolores and...
And Dolores and Danielle. Which this situation seems to come out of left field, because
yep.
It didn't even seem like there would be any indication that they would have a problem. Like, so what is this about? Like, what do you guys think? You got a week to chime in and let us know. But, you know, what you think it's going to be about? What do you think it's going to be about?
You know, I think she's going to take... Dolores is going to take Danielle for face value on things that she says versus her intent on what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And Dolores, for the time being, her loyalty lies with Siggy. And she obviously was not at the conversations that Siggy had.
Right.
It's different to be present in a situation when issues are being handled versus
right.
hearing about them later.
Right.
Because you can get passionate and be like, but I told her and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
She chewed me out. I got back at her. And yeah, but everything is fine now.
Right.
So Dolores only gets that aspect of it. So, you know, and plot twist. Dolores might try to call Danielle out about something in her relationship-wise. And Danielle might come back with, yeah, but your ex-man is living in your house. So then that might have upset Dolores, then she's going to come back at her, and then that's when she called her the scumbag, which
I cannot wait for next week.
Don't bark up the tree.
I just feel like, okay, so apparently we learned that I don't know if you guys know this, but the season is only about 10 to 12 episodes long. Which is saddening to me. However, I'm living for it if that means that every single episode is chock full of action. If it's going to be like this for the rest of the season, then I'm completely 110% happy with whatever they give us. You know what I'm saying? I would rather have a short season that is crazy so I can have something else to look forward to versus a season where half of it is lackluster. I would
love to have Danielle sitting right here on our guest couch.
We are going to get Danielle in this studio.
And Andy. Make sure you guys are tagging Bravo Andy. Tag him and make him watch our show.
Exactly.
Make him watch our show, because I'll tell you why. We bring a whole nother aspect to this show because we are the Bravo boys.
I'm going to tell you. it makes such a big difference to when they can come, because we get so many behind the scenes details and it's kind of crazy. Like yesterday, Leanne gave us all the tea on everything that's going on in Dallas. So I want the same thing for Jersey. I want Danielle to spill the beans. I want Margaret to spill the beans. I want Teresa to spill. I want all of them here at some point. So, you know, why not wish for the stars?
Yes, and shout out to you guys' loyalty. You guys have been here with us since episode one, and we really appreciate it. Yep. Shout out to Sweden. We have viewers in Sweden.
Do we?
Fun fact, my one of my best friends and my old roommate, Garrett, he is from Sweden. And so I had to write them back. I said, thank you very much. But are you guys across the country and in every other countries that you guys are watching us from, we deeply appreciate it, because we love the Housewives and New Jersey just as much as you do. And we're so passionate about this. I'm so vested in this. Come on, you're bringing out my Sicilian side. Come on, you better stop.
So as you guys can see, we are really, really excited. And we're going to actually wrap up this episode. But you guys need to follow us on social media.
Amsterdam and the Netherlands. Shout out.
Okay, shout out. Comment on YouTube. Keep commenting. We're going to comment back. Text us on Twitter. DM us. Stalk us, give us 5 stars on because we are on Instagram, and we do this is also a podcast, so people can actually just hear us and not see us too. We've got it all, so keep watching. We're going to keep giving it to you like only we can. I'm your host, DJ Richie Sky. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at DJ Richie Sky. Where can they find you?
And I'm your boy, Russell Ray. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Russell Ray Silva. And we appreciate you. Love you.
And that's it for the Bravo Boys. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.